This is a service of morning prayer for the Sunday of the Passion, and it includes a liturgy of the palms. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. O dear friends in Christ, during Lent we have been preparing for the celebration of our Lord's Paschal mystery. On this day our Lord Jesus Christ entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph. The people welcomed him with palms and shouts of praise, but the path before him led to self-giving, suffering, and death. Today we greet him as our King, although we know his crown is thorns and his throne a cross. We follow him this week from the glory of the palms to the glory of the resurrection by the way of the dark road of suffering and death. United with him in his suffering on the cross, may we share his resurrection and new life. Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy into the celebration of those mighty acts, whereby you give us life and immortality, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When they had come near to Jerusalem, and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them.' And he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Hebrews acclaimed Jesus as the Messiah and King, with palm branches in their hands, crying, "Hosanna in the highest." May we also go forth to meet Christ and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son was crucified, yet entered into glory, may we, walking in the way of the cross, find it is for us the way of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Psalm 31, verses 9 through 16. Please join on the even verses of the psalm indicated in bold. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. I am the scorn of all my adversaries, a horror to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have passed out of mind like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. For I hear the whispering of many, terror all around, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross, and when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to. For he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." The Gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday. Jesus has come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. He's standing on the Mount of Olives, that great mountain to the east of Jerusalem, and he surveys the ancient city. The temple, the great structure of the city, the crowds that have assembled to celebrate Passover. And he does so with a sense of anticipation. There's something in the air, something will change. The crowds sense it. Jesus comes down the mountain, not on a war horse, as one would expect a king to do, not surrounded by troops with swords and shields and lances, as one would expect to accompany a king, not welcomed by the senior leadership of the city, not welcomed by Pontius Pilate or by the high priest, but by ordinary folk who were able to perceive that God was doing something different. And this is very much in keeping in the God of the Scriptures, the God who turns things around. He sends the rich empty away, and he raises up the poor. God is there to vindicate the rights of the widow and the orphan and the stranger and the refugee. The common folk recognize something is happening in this fellow Jesus. What is it? They're not sure, but they know that it has to do with the reign of God. They cry out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna is a political term in first instance. The root of Hosanna is "save us now." And when the crowds are shouting, "Save us now," most likely they were thinking in political terms. Remove from us the yoke of Roman oppression. Reestablish the monarchy under a divine regent. Reestablish the reign of David in Jerusalem. However, the Gospels recognize that that's too parochial. There's far more to it than that. And we see this clearly in the citation from Zechariah 9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, our king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And it goes on to say that the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. In other words, this is not a reign which only concerns one people in one place, in one time, concerning the political and the administrative governance of that city. This is something that has international import, one which concerns all nations. Jesus is the light of the nations. How do we interpret this as moderns? We've passed through the Enlightenment. We passed through the mechanistic universe of Newton, which is basically motivated by cause and effect, by material forces. We've gone through deism that understands God as the creator of a fixed order of creation in which there are material causes, efficient causes, a moral order. But God can appear as an actor, as an agent within that system, either not at all, according to the deists, or through miracles on a case-by-case basis, as some in the rationalistic tradition would believe. But in modern theology, that kind of thinking has got us to believe that any future promise has to really have been fulfilled now. Any eschatological, future-oriented idea that the reign of God will come, Jesus will reign, in some future point, the culmination of God's reign will come, is seen as realized, actualized. It takes place now. The future, we don't know. It'll happen how it happens, through forces of nature and through human decision. We are the architects of our own destiny, and we'll reap what we sow. We don't have a really great sense, as the medievals did, of the beatific vision of the final, ultimate ends of God, the so-called final cause that draws all things forward, and the drawing forward has to do with the flourishing within the forms, the structures that are fundamental to God's creation of the universe. In other words, when you plant an apple seed, inherent in an apple seed is the form of a fully flourishing apple tree. And one can make choices about the conditions which make fully flourishing possible. The soil, water, air, light. One can create circumstances in which it will flourish, or one can create circumstances in which it will die. We have certain choice, but when parameters of flourishing and direction and growth and creativity. And for the medievals, the universe is full of the creativity, the dynamic power of God, fully moving us towards a flourishing and an end in which God will be all. In other words, we're not pushing history forward through our own decisions and the happenstance of chance. God is drawing us forward from the future based on God's plan and intention for a fully flourishing universe. That's a fundamentally different perspective, and I would submit that's the biblical perspective, and the one which, as we enter into Holy Week, is the one which I think shows us how, from a biblical point of view, we can look at Jesus as King in a very trying and difficult situation. That is, God simply didn't create the universe and let pestilences and adversity thrive and we sort things out the best we can. No, we're in an order of creation in which creation itself groans and moves forward to completion in Christ, as Paul said in Romans. There's an interconnectivity. There's a sense in which every part of the cosmos is connected. There's a system in which every part depends on the other. We are in an ecosystem in which these relationships foster the full flourishing of all. And that Christ is the one at the center, drawing us forward, unleashing our full potential, making us all that we can be as individuals, but as a society, taking responsibility for ourselves and for others, teaming up and working together in Christ to ensure that society blossoms and flourishes in Christ. We're not alone. It doesn't mean that it'll always go our way or we will not be subject to misfortune and adversity. It does mean that Christ is with us, and in partnership with our brothers and sisters, all things become new and all things flourish in Christ. Christ is King because Christ is the one at the heart of creation, drawing us towards the divine purposes and ends in God. We welcome Christ this Palm Sunday as King, not as a miracle worker on a one-to-one basis, but the one who gives meaning and order and structure and life to all. And we pray that we may fully participate in that life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks on this Palm Sunday that you are King. Reign in our lives and our communities. Banish fear and anxiety and make all things new, that we may die with him on Good Friday and rise to him with new life on Easter, in the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us say together the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord, who is a refuge and stronghold, saying, Lord, hear our prayer. For the health and well-being of our nation, that all who are fearful and anxious may be at peace and free from worry. Lord, hear our prayer. For the isolated and housebound, that we may be alert to their needs and care for them in their vulnerability. Lord, hear our prayer. For our homes and families, our schools and young people, and all in any kind of need or distress. Lord, hear our prayer. For a blessing on our local community, that our neighborhoods may be places of trust and friendship, where all are known and cared for. Lord, hear our prayer. I invite you now to offer your own petitions to God. Lord, hear our prayer. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in tender love for all our human race, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take our flesh and suffer death upon a cruel cross. May we follow the example of his great humility and share in the glory of his resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. May the God of mercy transform you by his grace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.